Do you have any questions?
Conference record has joined the conference.
Hi, did anybody have any questions before we begin? Okay, with that, I'm going to introduce Cheryl Hess, who is from the Bismarck Vocational Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, and she's going to present to us a little bit about voc rehab. I'll call it voc rehab 101. We're really excited to have Cheryl with us tonight. She's been a gem to work with and partner with, and I'm excited to hear what she has to present tonight. So if the instructions say that if you want to need to mute your line, it's star 6, and then if you want to unmute, it's pound 6. So, and I think this is a loose enough group so that if anybody had questions as we go through the presentation, feel free to speak up. So, okay, with that, Cheryl, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. It sounds like there's a lot of people that were looking at being here, and I think that's great because it's 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. My name is Cheryl Hess, and I'm actually originally from North Dakota. 10 years ago, I started working for the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation in our Bismarck Regional Office as a counselor. I did transition work with 9 schools within our region, and I had the opportunity to work as a counselor for 7 years. After that, I actually applied and got a job at the state office, and some of the programs that I cover are transition services, working with assistive technology, traumatic brain injuries, working with individuals in regards to assessments, supported employment, and I am the community rehab liaison person. So it's really kind of nice because I still get to, even though I'm not directly working with clients, I still get to do a lot of field work, which I think helps me to do my job better. A couple of things, just a disclaimer, that sometimes when I do get passionate about what I like, I sometimes talk a little fast, so I'll try to not talk fast. If you do have any questions or if I am talking too fast, please let me know, and I will work on that. The second one is I have a self-employment goal of amateur comedians, so I hope you laugh if you're on mute. Obviously, I won't know if you are, but I'm pretty lighthearted, and if you have questions, I just want it to be an opportunity for you to kind of learn what we do here in voc rehab, and if you do have any specific questions, that we can talk about them then. I'm going to kind of tailor it a little bit towards transition, but truthfully, all of our services are the same, regardless if it's a transition age youth or an adult who's looking for employment. So, the purpose of our program is to assist eligible individuals with disabilities to improve their employment opportunities. Voc Rehab is an employment program that's specifically designed to work with individuals who have a documented disability. Many times somebody might come in and they will be looking for other things, and one of the key things that we talk about is employment. Not only do we talk about employment, we also talk about careers. You know, job service can help somebody find a job, but really what we want to do is help somebody find a career so we can match their interests, abilities, capabilities, needs, and desires by providing them with informed choice. DVR is here for individuals. What we do is we look at, do you have a documented disability that makes it hard for you to either obtain or maintain employment? And those documented disabilities could be if somebody has diabetes, or if they have a learning disability, mental health issues, cerebral palsy. There's a lot of different things that might have it, that might be warranted as a disability. Somebody might have a vision impairment or a back injury. Those are things that we look at for the documentation. But the other thing we need to do is look at I messed my slides up. I'm sorry, but I'll go from there. Do you have a documented disability, and is it an impediment to employment? Lots of times somebody might have a vision issue and their employer provides an accommodation and they've been working for 20 years. They may have a disability, but that disability hasn't impeded their ability to obtain or maintain employment. So we kind of take a look at some of those things. Individuals that might come in to to our services. Some of the things that they might want to do is we need to look at specific services that are related to employment. Do they need help with job search assistance? Do they need help with training, those sorts of things? And what we also look at is, do you want to work to your best of your ability? And are you ready to look for a job and move in the right direction? It's many times some people will come in and I think that they're ready, but when we start getting through the process or we start moving forward, you know, there's a lot of fears out there about Social Security. Am I going to lose my benefits? So that person has to be ready and willing to move forward to make some changes to look for employment. Lots of times people will come in and they'll be looking for things, and we find this just because we continue to need to get information out to individuals, because, you know, it's kind of like that telephone game that you might play where one person tells one person, the next person, the next person, and sometimes the message gets changed. So we're constantly looking at ways in which we can provide the information in various forms to individuals so that they're aware of what our program is. But sometimes people do come in because they have misconceptions. If somebody doesn't have a disability or an impediment to employment, I had an individual that came in for an intake one time, and he did have a documented disability. He was working as an upholstery person. And I said, well, are you having issues on your job? Are there things that make it difficult for you to do your job? And he goes, no, well, my employer has this table I can raise up and down, so I'm able to either work in various environments. Well, he did have a disability, but his employer was providing the accommodation, so then it wouldn't be an impediment to employment. The individual is looking at for VR to help them get disability benefits. Sometimes people might be coming in, they're looking for food stamps or medical assistance, housing assistance. VR is not an entitlement program, and the services that we provide have to be related to somebody's disability or employment goal. And when individuals are not ready or available for work, and this sometimes happens when we have individuals who might be incarcerated. If they're incarcerated, they're not able to be looking for a job, or somebody who might still be in a rehab center because they might have been in a motor vehicle accident, where we might look at, you know, where they're at and say, well, maybe once you get to a certain point, we can have you apply for services. These are some of the things that you can be thinking about during that process, but you have to be available and ready to work. When you look at the VR process, we have people apply for services, and they would complete an application at any of the 8 regional offices. We have offices in all of the major cities, and they also provide outreach to the various counties that fall within their range. The Human Service Center, how their service delivery is how our services are also outlined. Generally, when we do the application, we have people fill out just documentation, so we have their point of contact. What are some of the trainings that they might have attended? What's their education level? Have they applied for job service? Are they receiving any benefits? And then we would also do releases of information so that we could obtain documentation of their disability. And that documentation, you know, could be through the school system. It could be through a medical provider, physical therapist, a variety of ways. And that's something that we would send out to get medical records. The next step was the eligibility determination, where we determine if somebody's eligible for services. And then we would do the comprehensive assessment, and that's basically, we kind of take a look at matching people's strengths, interests, abilities with what jobs that they're looking at wanting to do. We would write a plan for employment, and then we would provide services that are specifically related, again, to their disability and employment goal. Once somebody is working and they're successful, we would consider them successfully employed, and we would look at closing their case. Sometimes things happen where we may have to provide post-employment services. VR services are time-limited, but say 3 months after somebody gets a job, they're having some struggles on the job, and they may need help with a job coach for learning new tasks. We would just open them under post-employment services. certain circumstances may require, if somebody has a new disability or that disability worsens, that they can reapply for services. Before I go kind of more specific into the different areas, I just thought I would stop because, you know, I gave you kind of a lot there. Does anybody have any questions?
That was a great overview.
Okay. I just want to make sure, again, I am trying to kind of listen to make sure that if somebody does have a question, just let me know. Generally, we have our intake and application. We, in Bismarck, they've actually started a group, not an intake, but they do a group presentation to people to kind of tell them what VR services, what is VR, what services we provide. And then they set up individual appointments with a counselor to obtain information. Some of the things when we look at doing the intake that a counselor might ask, they might ask, do you have a physical disability? If so, what are some of the things that you have difficulty with? You know, somebody who has a vision impairment may need alternate font sizes. They may need something larger for that, or they might not have a driver's license because their vision isn't at where it can be for them to get a driver's license. So they kind of take a look at what are the medical diagnoses and how do those affect employment. If we also ask if somebody has any mental health issues, have they been hospitalized for any reason? Do you have any difficulties in school? Has learning ever been difficult for you? So it's very comprehensive. We also talk about addiction issues. Have you ever been incarcerated? Do you have a driver's license? And some of the things that we ask, it's kind of interesting. When I was a counselor, one of the questions I started asking, and I was just amazed at some of the answers I'd get. Because of, you know, example, because of the war or motor vehicle accidents, there's a higher number of incidents of individuals that might have experienced a traumatic brain injury, which can affect somebody in various manners. It can affect them physically, it can affect them cognitively, behavioral, that sort of thing. And one of the things that I would ask, have you ever lost consciousness? And why did I ask that is because many times people don't even think about it. They might have come in and applied for a service, and during that discussion, I might have found out that, yeah, you know, I was in a coma for 3 weeks after a motor vehicle accident, and maybe some of their struggles might be related to that traumatic brain injury. One of the things that we try to make sure is when we're providing services that it's specific to that individual, specific to their disability, so that we can make sure that we're providing them with the best services. For us to look at eligibility, generally we have 60 days from the time that they apply for services for a counselor to determine eligible for services. That's when we would send out the releases of information to the schools or to a medical facility, physical therapist, chiropractor, a mental health provider, whoever might have that documentation of that disability. If for some reason we can't obtain those records, we would do a delay form for the client to sign so that we could either get the records, or if it's not available for us to either send somebody for a medical appointment or for a functional capacity evaluation to see if we can determine if they're eligible for services. To be eligible for services, an individual must have a physical or mental impairment, a substantial impediment to employment, and require vocational rehabilitation services to become employed and benefit from services. Sometimes if those two kind of seem like they could be really easy, do they require services or do they benefit from them? But those are some of the criteria that we use as a counselor when we're looking at determining if somebody's eligible for VR services. People who are receiving Social Security benefits, either SSI or SSDI, are presumed eligible for services. So, you know, we have an entity, Social Security, that says this individual does have a disability. We would then determine them eligible right away. We still need documentation. We'd still request the documentation, but we try to get those eligibilities in, done a little bit quicker. One of the things that we might do is say, okay, do you have something at Social Security that says that you're eligible for services? Sometimes I would ask a client, it's like, okay, do you have a bank statement that says that you're receiving Social Security so that I can at least do your eligibility and I can update my eligibility statement later once I get that documentation? If we determine that somebody's not eligible for services, we always give them the information for the client assistance program for them to be able, if they wanted to appeal that decision. Just so you all know, that anybody can appeal any decision that VR makes throughout the case process from the time that they determine eligible, that they determine eligibility from writing a plan to service delivery. We, as counselors, talk with our clients when they fill out the application, when we write a plan. If for some reason we can't provide a service, we always give them that information so that they're aware what their rights are. Obviously, we may say, you know, maybe talk to the regional administrator or talk with the counselor first, but we do also make sure that they know who those advocates are. So now we determine that somebody's eligible for services. What we then look at is, okay, we might have them complete some interest inventories. We might look at doing some job shadows. We might look at doing some situational assessments where they're able to actually try out a job. We also have them look at labor market research. We might have them do some assessments like barriers to employment. We also might decide, okay, somebody might have a physical disability. They may want to become a truck driver, but they have this back injury. We may send them for a functional capacity evaluation to make sure that that's going to be an appropriate job goal for them. Or we may write to their doctor. Somebody might have a mental health disability, and they may want to work 40 hours a week, but their psychiatrist may say, well, for them to do well in a job, they may be only able to work 20 hours a week. So we kind of take a look at that during the comprehensive assessment. What we then do is we take that information, and we, throughout this whole process, we're providing guidance and counseling for clients. One of the things that I always try to do, if I wasn't sure that somebody was picking an appropriate employment goal, I would try to find ways for them to figure it out themselves. I mean, I was not one to say, well, I don't think you should do that because this or that. I would, you know, sometimes through that process, they would, hopefully through that process, they would kind of come to that on their own. They may do a job shadow, or they might do an information interview where they're going to contact an employer and find out what those job responsibilities or duties are. Or they may participate in a functional capacity evaluation, and after 2 days of doing that, have, you know, some physical limitations that are associated with their disability and realize that, oh, maybe I can't work 40 hours a week. There's only one instance where I actually had to tell somebody that I couldn't support their goal. I had sent the individual, she had a learning disability, and I had sent her to a psychologist to say, which, you know, is college a feasible goal for her? She's looking at doing a 2-year degree at this university in this occupation. Is this a possibility given her disability? And the psychologist had come back and said, you know, based on her scores, I don't think that college, a long-term training program would be good. Something more hands-on would be much more better, beneficial for this person. And I'm like, so I tried to find different ways for her to figure this out herself, and finally I had to say, I can't support your employment goal. And she was not happy, but she said, well, then you're telling me I can't go to school. I said, no, I'm not telling you can't go to school. I said, you have these Pell Grants. If you want to try school one semester and you do well, and I'll help get set up through disability services, and if you need anything, accommodations, we'll look at doing that. But if you do well the first semester, we'll reevaluate where things are at, and we'll maybe look at writing a plan after the first semester. So she was still able, you know, if she wanted to do it, she had the dollars to pay for school that she could do it. Well, she decided to do that. Lo and behold, best story ever. I love when people can prove me wrong. She did well. We reevaluated her goal. We wrote an employment plan. She did the 2 years of school, worked her butt off, did an awesome job, did very well in school, graduated in the degree that she wanted to, got a job, we close your successfully employed. I love that somebody could prove me wrong. The one time that I actually had to say, I'm sorry, I can't support your goal, she showed me that I should support her goal, and that, I think, was the best thing ever. So counselors will gather that information, do the guidance and counseling with the individuals they're working with, looking at what are some of their abilities, what are their capabilities, looking at what labor market's out there. There's lots of people who might want to do a job, but if there's not a job available or they need to go out of state to obtain that job, we want to make sure that they're aware of that. You know, somebody who wants to go into zoology is going to probably need to know that you may not get a job in North Dakota. You may have to relocate somewhere else. So once we figure that out, then we would write an individual plan for employment. The client and the counselor will identify the steps necessary for that individual to reach their employment goals. In a sense, it's kind of the roadmap of, this is what I'd like to do, this is why I want to do it, and these are the things that I might need to help me reach this goal. The counselor's role is to coordinate, monitor, and assure services are provided. The plan will include the vocational goal, guidance and counseling activities, specific services that will be provided, either through VR or through another agency. There may be, you know, if somebody has medical assistance and they have prescription medication that they need to take for their disability, that will actually be outlined on the employment goal and who's responsible for it. If they have, if they're seeing somebody at the Human Service Center for counseling, that would also be identified on it. Or if they're going to AA or NA to maintain their sobriety, those are also things that might be identified on the plan that VR isn't necessarily going to purchase, but that would be essential for them to be successful in their goal. We had outlined the client's responsibilities. One of those might be following up with your mental health provider every 2 weeks or whatever the recommendations might be. If you're going to school, maintaining a 2.0 grade point average, attending class. I had a lot of transition students, so it's kind of interesting what I'd have to write there, because I might have a student that said, well, I had a 7 o'clock English class and I failed it because I never got up. Well, attending class would make it a little bit easier for you to be able to be successful in school. But kind of just outlining all those responsibilities, and it all depending upon what their employment goal was or what their disability might be. Another example could be if we're looking at purchasing assistive technology, is actually utilizing the technology, and if for some reason it's not working for you, making sure that you let the counselor know that so that we can maybe look at something else. Financial participation. Some of the services that we do provide are based on a sliding fee scale. Guidance and counseling, there are some no-cost services, but if we're looking at purchasing a piece of equipment for somebody, we do have to look at family contribution. We look at how many people are in the family and how much income the family is receiving. If for some reason somebody is on Social Security, we weigh the financial participation portion of it, but it has to be Social Security disability, not retirement. Also with the financial participation, and maybe the regional ministers might not like this, but sometimes we can make exceptions, and those would go through the regional administrator. An example might be if we're going to look at purchasing hearing aids, and the individual has to pay 50% and VR will pay 50%, but that individual has a disability expenses that are pretty large. One of the examples that I had is I had an individual who needed a hearing aid but just finished, in the process of going through cancer treatment and had bills associated with that. So we do take a look at those things as well. We look at job placement activities. Our whole goal is employment, and we look at what we need to do throughout the case process to get somebody ready for that for that outcome. DVR offers many types of services. The employment plan is customized to suit the needs of the individual's needs and abilities. No employment plan is the same. We don't take a cookie cutter approach to services. If somebody might have a a vision impairment, or they might have a hearing impairment, and they may be working at the same place, but we're still going to make it, we're going to still design the employment plan specific to what their needs are, either employment or disability related. Services on the IP are services needed to achieve the employment goals. Both the consumer and the council need to agree upon which services are necessary for employment. Services may include supported employment, vocational development, on-the-job training, job search assistance, educational training, transportation, assistive technology, or other services. I don't have this specific in this presentation, but when I'm talking about supported employment or voc development, that's where we actually contract with a provider to help an individual obtain a job, maybe learn how to do the job, and then get stable within the job. Supported employment is something where somebody's going to require support throughout the time that they're going to be working and once the VR case is closed. And there's a different payment system that we use for that. Vocational development is more short-term. It may be just a situation where somebody's going to need help with interviewing skills or making sure that their resume is put together correctly and just doing some mock interviews or just help them, you know, a month or two learn their job, and once they're on the job that they're able to maintain that from now on. We also do offer on-the-job training dollars, and that's where the counselor would actually set it up with the employer to provide the training and pay a specific amount for that employer to hire that person and actually train them on the job. Job search assistance, helping with resumes, helping practice mock interviews, kind of taking a look at some of those things that people might need to take a look at when they're looking at a job. Some of the job readiness skills, making sure talking to clients to make sure that you're on time for a job interview or for work, or making sure that you're appropriately dressed for an interview, and that, you know, if you're going to go to a bank, that you're not showing up with jeans and a t-shirt when you're going to apply for a cashier position. Education and training may be college. It may be, we actually work with Halliday. It's a welding school where you can get certified as a welder, and it's more specific to hands-on learners. So we kind of take a look at what some of those might be. Transportation, we sometimes assist with if somebody's, you know, somebody gets a job and they're not going to have a paycheck right away, that we would take a look at those sorts of things. And looking at assistive technology throughout the case process to make sure that individuals have what they need to be able to access all services. I'm going to take another break in regards, because I talked about the eligibility, the intake, the comprehensive assessment, and services. Does anybody have any specific questions they'd like to ask now?
Deb, in particular, I'm wondering after that section if you had any questions. Hearing none.
Okay. Services must be authorized by the counselor before they begin. Sometimes somebody might come in and say, oh, I bought this software, I bought this computer, can you reimburse me for it? Oh, no. One, it has to be listed on the plan, and two, we have to have it authorized in our system prior to that being purchased. Also, VR services are time limited. You know, the average time that we have a case open in voc rehab is probably 2 to 3 years, and that probably depends on what training needs might be out there. So they are time limited, meaning at one point we do have to close your case. I did have one of my clients, I don't know, sometimes stories help, but if they don't, I apologize, who, you know, was doing really well in a job and didn't want her case closed, and I wasn't providing any services except for support services. So one of the things I told her is, you know, you can call me once your case is closed. I have no problem with that. Sometimes, you know, as a counselor, you may be that person's only point of contact. And she continued to call me for several years after her VR case was closed. When we talk about, obviously, our goal is employment, job placement, and successful employment, When an individual is ready for work, we will assist them with finding a job in whatever manner works best for them. Some people are able to fill out applications, apply for jobs on their own, and they can do that on their own. Others may ask for help with our counselor. We have business specialists and career assessment specialists in the four larger offices, and they're kind of new to, they're not new to VR, but they're new to VR because we have people that are actually doing them. But they can actually help clients fill out, you know, do their resume and kind of tweak it so that it's what it should be right now, what our employer's looking for. But they can also help, doing mock interviews and those sorts of things, getting those job readiness skills up so far. Some individuals may actually need more assistance when looking for a job, and we would actually hire a community rehab provider to provide those services. Some examples in the state could be Pride or HIT, rehab services, friendship, success, developmental homes, community options. All of them are providers that work with a variety of populations, individuals who might have a developmental disability or cognitive disability, a physical or mental health disability. But what we do is we would contract to provide those services. And they would be listed on the employment plan through either supported employment or vocational development. The ultimate goal for Voc Rehab is the 26th. It's kind of funny, I was at a meeting today, and all of us, VR included especially, we start talking our jargon, our VR language. And the VR language for success for somebody getting employed and maintaining a job for more than 90 days is the 26th. So once somebody is working in their job and that's identified on their IEP, or a closely related field, you might have somebody who has worked in food services, and it could be a variety of different jobs within that. We would keep their case open after they had the job at a minimum 90 days, and some counselors actually keep people open a little bit longer if things aren't quite stable. They want to make sure that all the services are there for that person to be successful in their job. So at a minimum, it's 90 days. Before we close their file, both the client and the counselor must agree that everything is satisfactory, that they don't need any further services, and they're doing well in their job. That's why, you know, having that counselor-client relationship and developing that to be able to do that is so essential for everybody to be successful in reaching the goal of successful employment. So once the VR case is closed, say somebody comes and they might have been working and they weren't necessarily sure if they needed a reasonable accommodation, they might need help learning a new job task. What we do is provide post-employment services. There's short-term assistance, something that can be taken care of pretty quickly where the case is reopened, the service is provided, and then closed again. If for some reason I heard a beep, the name.
That's okay.
Okay, just checking. If for some reason, you know, once somebody's case is closed, if they're, you know, they think that they might need further services, the best thing to do is contact the VR counselor and say, this is the situation that's going on. Is there something that you can help with? If there's, you know, if it's not something that we can assist with, hopefully that the counselor then provides them with other resources to look at what are some other ways that those needs might be reached. All right. Does anybody have any questions?
If you're on mute, you can take yourselves off mute. No questions for Cheryl on employment or?
One of the things that I did want to mention, a couple of things regarding transition. What we tend to do is look at when somebody applies for services. I used to always love my transition students because I always thought it was an opportunity to help them figure out what they wanted to do for a career. We generally open a case in the junior year, and what we try to do is have according to federal regulations, we're supposed to have an employment goal identified by the time they actually graduate from high school. So I just, you know, if you have somebody that you know is a junior or senior that might benefit from services, encourage them to apply for services through our agency. The oldest client that we worked with that I remember was 82. He was a farmer, and we helped him with some modification to some farm equipment so he could maintain employment. So we run the gamut of services that we provide to individuals that we work with.
Cheryl, for the providers who may be on the call, what is an appropriate way to get a referral to you?
Just contact the office. If you're not sure of who to call the regional administrator first, and he or she will get you in the right direction. I can attest for Bismarck, we had a human service person who set up all the intakes, but each of the offices do it a little different. I know Fargo, they have counselors on call, so if somebody comes up to the human service center and they want to do an intake that afternoon, there's a counselor available and they can do it right away. Unfortunately, it varies a little bit, so probably the best way to do it would be to contact the regional administrator.
And another question that I would have, because I don't think it's real clear for families, is when they are in their junior year, who generally makes that referral? Does the family make the referral? Does the counselor make the referral? Does it come as part of the IEP? How does that process start?
It's all of those. Generally what happens is and I'm getting it put on our website, but we had a couple other things that Harley and I needed to take care of first. But I did list out who are all the transition counselors and which schools that they cover, and that will actually be on our website. So if somebody had any, if they're wondering who that might be, a family member could contact the counselor directly. They could what I did is I would talk to the teacher and do a presentation each year to the staff, and to the students to give them the information about services. But sometimes that information doesn't always get home because I have a 16 and 17-year-old, and I know that that doesn't always work very well. Anybody can make a referral to VR. We've had students that have contacted us because they've heard about voc rehab but might not have gotten – they might not have wanted to wait until school made that referral. A lot of the times, VR counselors are invited to the IEP meeting, but generally, the average caseload for a VR counselor is between 120 and 140 individuals. So sometimes there may be conflicting IEPs, especially for those that might cover some of the rural schools. But we will, if we can't be there in person, the family can always ask for a conference call for that counselor to be conferenced in.
Great. And then can you talk a little bit about when they're under the age of majority yet until they're 18, that families, it's all right for families to attend the meetings with the student and participate as a team member with them when they come in to see the rehab counselor or not?
That's one of the things that I always did as a VR counselor, and that's just how I did it, is I always had the student sign a release even before they were 18, even though I knew that it didn't really work. I at least then had their consent for that parent to be there. Parents can be there. Once that student does turn 18 and they say, I don't want my parents to be there, then we have to honor that request by that individual. What I found many times, it was a lot easier when the parents were there because they may be under their, you know, kids are kids and they don't necessarily see the importance of what the services are that are being offered and how that can benefit them to reach whatever goals that they want to aspire to.
And then one of my last questions, because I didn't see it in the slide, is in order to contact a voc rehab counselor in their region, they're all housed at the human service centers?
They are housed at the human service center. My last slide, unless I messed it up, I thought I put the website, and I had put the website because you know, very shortly I will have all the counselors listed by what school. Oh, I did. Contacting VR. That way it'll have all the, there's actually a bullet thing on the left-hand side that talks about transition. So when you hit that transition piece, then it would bring up that list of VR counselors and which schools they cover.
Okay.
And has their email and their email addresses and their direct telephone numbers.
Great.
But you're absolutely right. All of them except for Dickinson are housed within the Human Service Center. Dickinson is in a different location because they ran out of space.
Great. Did anybody have any questions at all besides the ones that kept popping in my head? Feel free to speak up.
Those are good questions.
Well, if there are no questions, we can end a little bit early. And Cheryl, thank you so much. It's great. And what I'll do is I'll send you this recording, and then we'll when I get it, and then we'll also put it up on the website so that, you know, people can access it there. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I don't know if I'll listen to it because I don't want to hear myself.
You did perfect. So
thank you, everybody, for taking the time. If you do have any specific questions, just shoot me an email. Give me a call. That would be great.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.